Welcome to your GCSE Religious Studies Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving deep into one of the most rewarding topics on the WJEC specification, festivals. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check before your exam, this episode will give you everything you need to hit the top marks. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's go. Before we start, here's the key thing to remember about this topic. The examiner is not interested in whether you know the story of Easter or the traditions of Eid. What they want to know is whether you understand why these festivals matter theologically. What belief sits behind each practice? That's the difference between a level 2 and a level 4 response. Keep that in mind throughout everything we cover today. Let's begin with Christianity and Easter. Easter is, without question, the most theologically significant festival in the Christian calendar. I want you to write that down and remember it. Many candidates make the mistake of treating Christmas and Easter as equally important. They are not. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. That single quote tells you everything about Easter's primacy. Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. Without Christmas, there is still a faith. That distinction is worth marks. The theological term you must use is the Paschal Mystery. This refers to the four-part cycle at the heart of Easter: the Passion, the Death, the Resurrection, and the Ascension of Jesus Christ. Examiners will award credit specifically for using this term rather than simply saying the Easter story. The Paschal Mystery is not just a sequence of events, it is the mechanism of salvation. Through his suffering and death, Jesus atones for human sin. Through his resurrection, he conquers death and offers believers the hope of eternal life. Through his ascension, he returns to the Father and sends the Holy Spirit. Each stage has theological weight. Now, let's talk about the Easter Vigil, because this is where the liturgical practice really connects to the theology. The Easter Vigil takes place on the night of Holy Saturday, the night before Easter Sunday. It is the most important liturgy of the entire Christian year in Catholic and many Anglican traditions. It has two key parts you must know. The first is the service of light. The church begins in complete darkness. A large Paschal candle, symbolizing the risen Christ as the light of the world, is lit from a fire outside the church. The flame is then passed from candle to candle through the congregation. This is not just a nice ritual. It is a theological statement. Christ's resurrection brings light into the darkness of sin and death. The imagery draws directly on John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The second part is the liturgy of the word, where up to 7 readings from the Old Testament are proclaimed, tracing salvation history from creation through to the Exodus and the prophets. This is significant because it shows that Easter is not an isolated event. It is the fulfillment of God's covenant with Israel. Examiners reward candidates who can make this synoptic link between the Old Testament narrative and the New Testament fulfillment. Now, diversity of practice. This is essential for high marks. Protestant traditions, particularly evangelical churches, may not observe the Easter Vigil at all. They focus instead on Easter Sunday morning services, often with a strong emphasis on scripture reading and communal celebration. Some traditions, like the Quakers, have no liturgical calendar whatsoever, arguing that every day is equally sacred. If a question asks you to evaluate the significance of Easter, you should contrast Catholic liturgical practice with Protestant simplicity, and perhaps note that for some Christians, the absence of ritual does not diminish the theological importance of the resurrection. Let's move on to Judaism and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement, and it is the holiest day in the Jewish calendar. It falls on the 10th day of Tishrei, 10 days after Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. Those 10 days in between are called the Days of Awe, a period of reflection and repentance. Yom Kippur is the culmination of that process. The theological basis for Yom Kippur comes from Leviticus chapter 16, where God commands Moses to establish an annual Day of Atonement for the sins of the whole community. The high priest would perform elaborate rituals, including the symbolic transfer of sins onto a goat, the original scapegoat, which was then sent into the wilderness. Today, without the temple in Jerusalem, these rituals have been replaced by prayer, fasting, and personal confession. The key practices you must know are fasting for 25 hours, no food or water from before sunset to after nightfall, wearing white, which symbolizes purity and the shroud of death, reminding worshipers of their mortality, reciting the Vidui, the confession of sins, which is said communally in the plural, we have sinned, not I have sinned. This communal dimension is theologically important. It reflects the Jewish understanding that the whole community bears collective responsibility before God. The Kol Nidre prayer, chanted at the start of Yom Kippur, is one of the most emotionally powerful moments in the Jewish liturgical year. It annuls unfulfilled vows made to God, and its haunting melody has been described as the sound of a people standing before their Creator. Diversity in Jewish practice is also examinable. Orthodox Jews observe Yom Kippur with strict adherence to all five prohibitions. No eating, no drinking, no washing, no wearing leather shoes, and no marital relations. Reformed Jews may observe the fast, but interpret the prohibitions more flexibly. Some secular Jews who do not regularly attend synagogue will still fast on Yom Kippur, showing how deeply embedded this festival is in Jewish identity, even beyond formal religious practice. Now let's turn to Islam and Eid al-Fitr. Eid al-Fitr marks the end of Ramadan, the holy month of fasting. The word Eid means festival or celebration, and Fitr relates to breaking the fast. This is a day of immense joy, but it is a joy rooted in spiritual achievement, not simply in the end of a difficult month. The theological foundation for Ramadan and Eid comes from Surah 2, verse 185 of the Quran. The month of Ramadan is that in which the Quran was revealed as guidance for the people. Fasting during Ramadan is one of the five pillars of Islam. It is an obligatory act of worship, not optional. Eid al-Fitr is therefore a celebration of having fulfilled a divine command, of having demonstrated taqwa, God-consciousness, through self-discipline. The key practices for Eid al-Fitr are Salat al-Eid, the special congregational prayer performed in the morning, often in large open spaces or mosques, Zakat al-Fitr, a compulsory charitable donation that must be given before the Eid prayer. This is not optional, it is a religious obligation, and its purpose is to ensure that even the poorest members of the community can celebrate Eid with dignity. This is a crucial point for the exam. Zakat al-Fitr is not just generosity, it is an act of social justice rooted in Islamic theology. Muslims also wear new or best clothes, visit family, exchange gifts, and share meals, but always link these practices back to the theology. The communal prayer reinforces the ummah, the global community of Muslims. The charitable giving reflects the Islamic principle of brotherhood and equality before Allah. Now, let's look at Christmas briefly, because it often appears in comparison questions. Christmas celebrates the incarnation, the belief that God became human in the person of Jesus Christ. The key verse is John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This is not simply a birth story. It is a theological statement about the nature of God and humanity. The term incarnation, from the Latin incarne, meaning in flesh, must be used in your answers. The nativity story, found in Matthew and Luke's Gospels, provides the narrative framework, but the theological significance is what earns marks. Why does God become human? To bridge the gap between the divine and the human. To make salvation possible. To reveal God's character through a human life. Denominational diversity at Christmas is also worth noting. Catholic and Anglican churches celebrate Midnight Mass on Christmas Eve, emphasizing the liturgical and sacramental dimensions of the festival. Many evangelical Protestant churches focus on carol services and nativity plays, emphasizing the accessibility of the gospel message. For some Christians, the commercialization of Christmas is a genuine theological concern. It risks obscuring the incarnation behind consumerism. Right. Now let's talk exam technique, because this is where marks are won and lost. The WJEC Religious Studies paper uses specific command words, and you must respond to each one differently. Describe questions, usually worth 2 marks. Want 2 developed features. Don't just name something. Explain it briefly. Explain questions, worth 5 or 8 marks, require the Peel structure. Point, evidence from a source of authority. Explanation of the link, link back to the question. For example, fasting on Yom Kippur is significant because a paralinguistic point, paralinguistic if fulfills the command in Leviticus 16, paralinguistic evidence, paralinguistic. Which shows that Jews are obeying God's direct instruction, paralinguistic explanation, paralinguistic, demonstrating that Yom Kippur is fundamentally an act of obedience and atonement, paralinguistic, link, paralinguistic. The D question is worth 15 marks and carries 50% of the section marks. You must spend 20 to 25 minutes on it. It will ask you to discuss or evaluate a statement. You need an introduction that defines the terms, at least 2 developed arguments in favor, at least 2 developed arguments against, and a conclusion that makes a clear, justified judgment. Do not sit on the fence. Examiners reward decisiveness. Common mistakes to avoid. First, narrating the story without explaining the theology. Telling the examiner what happened at the first Easter is not the same as explaining why Easter matters. Second, saying a festival is a time to be with family without linking it to a specific religious obligation or spiritual benefit. Third, confusing the relative importance of Christmas and Easter. Remember Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15? Fourth, and discuss questions, failing to offer a genuine counterargument. A one-sided response cannot reach level 4. Now, a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask 5 questions, pause the podcast, and try to answer each one before I give the answer. Question 1. What is the theological term for the 4-stage cycle of Jesus' passion, death, resurrection, and ascension? Answer: the Paschal Mystery. Question 2. What does the lighting of the Paschal candle at the Easter Vigil symbolize? Answer: Christ as the light of the world, bringing light into the darkness of sin and death. Question 3. What are the 2 key practices of Yom Kippur that you must know for the exam? Answer: fasting for 25 hours and reciting the Vidui, the communal confession of sins. Question 4. What is Zakat al-Fitr and why is it theologically significant? Answer: it is a compulsory charitable donation given before the Eid prayer, reflecting the Islamic principle of equality and brotherhood within the Ummah. Question 5. Which verse from John's Gospel provides the theological basis for Christmas? Answer: John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and reread that section of your notes. Let's wrap up with your key takeaways. 1. Festivals are not just celebrations. They are theological statements. Every practice links to a belief. Always make that link explicit in your answers. 2. Use precise religious terminology. Paschal mystery, incarnation, atonement, vidui, zakat al-fitr, salat al-eid, taqwa. These terms signal to the examiner that you are operating at the highest level. 3. Integrate sources of wisdom and authority. 1 Corinthians 15 for Easter, Leviticus 16 for Yom Kippur, Surah 2 verse 185 for Ramadan and Eid, John 1 verse 14 for Christmas. Learn these references. 4. Address diversity. Orthodox versus Reform in Judaism, Catholic versus Protestant in Christianity, Sunni versus Shia differences in Islam were relevant. High-level responses always acknowledge that religious communities are not monolithic. 5. The D question is worth 15 marks. Plan it, structure it, conclude it decisively. Do not run out of time. You've got this. Go back over your notes, test yourself with the retrieval questions in your study guide, and remember, the examiner wants to reward you. Give them the theological language, the sources of authority, and the evaluative judgment they're looking for, and the marks will follow. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.